We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. My name is Tina Dobbs. I'm sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is our sweet sister, Judy.
Hello.
How are you this morning?
I usually just tell people I am alive and I am here. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen. Without God's touch, that wouldn't have happened.
That's right. I don't know where I'd be without him.
Yeah.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. Or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get that uploaded right after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, they can find you what you're looking for. I think I covered it. Oh, please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's a replay. Would you like to pray to start us out?
I will do that. Father, today we humble ourselves before you, knowing that you are truly King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're thankful that you're still alive. We're thankful, oh God, that you're eternal, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I humble myself before you, and I ask for your anointing. I ask, Lord, that the words I speak, Lord, that you'll quicken my mind, that they will come from you, that you will touch the listener. Lord, I have no idea who's listening, who will listen, or anything that belongs to them or their need, but, Lord, you know. And so I ask you to use me as a vessel today. Purify me, cleanse me, make me what you want me to be. Bless Tina, Lord, as we have conversation, and Monica, and may this be a day, Lord, to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title. Sharing is caring.
Okay. I'm kind of going to go all over the place today. I just was thinking, I just like to share things out of my heart and things that I have that the Lord has given me down through time. And so we may jump from one thing to another, but just and not keep on one topic. But the overall topic really is God's faithfulness and God's goodness to us. Where would we be? Today I was just thinking of the 23rd Psalms, and at the nursing home I have them say that with me. But you can say it with me. Let's say that together, and then we'll talk about it, that for a minute. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." I said it yesterday with the people. Now I can't say it. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I'm still doing it wrong here. 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's one of my favorite verses. Chapters, actually, and it's one that I gave my grandkids. I'd give them $20 if they would learn this. I'm not sure if they all still retained it or not, because it's only 6 little verses. But I'd give them $20, each one of them, if they would remember this. But it's the scripture that one day I was in the midst of depression. I didn't know what to do. I'd gone home with my mom. that helped me all they could. She said, honey, I don't know what to tell you. I know God's bringing you through it. But she said, just go home and handle it. So when I went home, one day I was feeling this horrible, I don't know if you call it oppression, despair. It was just like, this is never going to, I don't know if any of y'all have sat there, but it just felt like, this is never going to change. This is I think people who commit suicide go through despair first. They go through, and I wasn't tempted to commit suicide, but I was, this despair swept over me. And so I threw myself over the bed. I just began to yell, God. I just began to yell, God, help me. I was 23 years old. I didn't know which way to turn. I only had one tool, and that was prayer. I didn't know any other thing. I found out later there's a lot of tools God has to give you victory over things. There's nothing, I mean, everything you face, there's an answer for it in the Word of God. And I didn't know how much the Word of God, I didn't know praise was a weapon. I remember being in the altars, and I just, all I knew was prayers to get out. So I would go to the altars, and I would just seek God. And one of the ladies slipped up beside me, and she started saying, sweetheart, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And my thought was, quit bugging me. I wanted her to back off and let me seek God for my problem, because I had a problem. And what I found out is she was trying, and the Lord was trying through her to lay a tool in my hand that was praise. Praise is a wonderful tool. When you can't pray something through, you can praise it through. When you don't have another answer and you can say, well, I'm not healed yet. Well, God, I praise you because I am healed in Jesus' name, and you're healing me. You're doing the work in me. I praise you. I was healed, and I'm kind of skipping from one story to another, and I left my first story. Maybe I'll get back to it. God did speak through Philbert and told me he would lead me out if I would trust him. But this day, I had a different problem. It's 1992, and I was having some female issues, and they had sent me to OU Medical Center. And they told me that I was precancerous, and the doctor in Mangum did. And so I went up there, and literally every time I'm there, all they did is talk to me. It was like four times, and it was a different student, I found out, each time just talking to me. And the last time I told the lady, I said, I think I need surgery. And she said, well, if you want surgery, we can give you surgery. That went all over me. That's not the way that's supposed to happen. I'm not supposed to ask for surgery and them say, well, we'll give it to you, you know. So I teared up at the time, not in front of her, but I teared up. And I started home, and I thought, I think going to heaven's better than this, and I will not go back there. I didn't go back there. So the next morning, I went to the church, and I sat down at the piano in the old church at Fifth and Randall, mm-hmm. which is now Community Church. I sat down at the piano there, and I began to love on the Lord. I began to just play music, and then all of a sudden, this tune came to me. And the tune was so cute. It was, you've heard it, I'm sure. Da-da, da-da, da-da-da-da-da. I started playing that. Oh, that's pretty. It's just something I heard it in my head, and I just started playing. Da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Ooh, that's pretty. I like that. And then words start coming. And the words are saying, be still, be still, and know I am God. Be still, and know I am God. If you ask in Jesus' name, anything is yours to claim. Be still. Be still and know I am God. Well, that is scripture, but that tune. And so I shared it with Lorraine, and we started singing in church. But I was having many issues at the moment when I started singing that song. And when that song was over, I had no issues. I never once again experienced another issue. I waited 5 years, literally, to go to the doctor again and get checked up. I went to a doctor in Lawton explaining what the situation had been and why my tummy was so big because of the they told me how big my uterus was and all the problems. And I come to find out that was all just fat because there was no problem. This lady doctor checked me out and she said, oh, no, you don't have any problem. You don't have any problem at all. When did it heal? It healed when the word of God came through in song, when I was loving on Jesus. So there's another tool. Just not only praise deliberately, but praise in song and love. I told the nursing home students, I don't know, students, the little students there. I said, if you, let's love on the Lord today. And I said, I like the term make love to the Lord. And what does that mean? That means I start singing a tune to him in my heart. That means I start raising my hand and I start telling him that I love you. I said, if I'm going to praise this little lady here, what am I going to say to her? Well, you're a cute little lady. You know what? I really do like you. Matter of fact, I love you, even though you're a rascal. I love you, you know. And we talk. And so that truly is a tool for us to love on the Lord, because he healed me that day in 1992 with Be Still. And so I heard Be Still again this last time, way deep into my problem. But I think the reason I heard Be Still from the Lord this time was because had I gone into the hospital and had such a radical surgery and in 2020 or 2021, I would have been put on a ventilator. And only 20% can come off of a ventilator. My husband wasn't able to do it. Anyway, God has spared my life in different times, in different places. He has shown his faithfulness to me. When the enemy would literally come in like a flood, when I was so young, I did not know my head from a hole in the ground. I was 23 years old. I did not know the difference between God's voice, my voice. And do you know, there's preachers who have trouble with that. There's people who have trouble. We all have to be very discerning to know what is our voice, our think, what is the devil's thoughts he has thrown, which sounds like our own think. It really does. It'll sound just like your own thinking. And you're, wait, that's not right. That's not, no. You have to look what to block and what to say. Somebody told me that the devil was literally fighting them, and when they said, in the name of Jesus, he said he stopped immediately, just stopped in his tracks, because they had, something's going on. I don't even know the full story, but there's power in that name. Yes. There's power. There's victory in that name of Jesus. So anyway, what a wonderful, wonderful God we serve. I'm jumping from one thing to another, so my thoughts may be a bit scattered today, but I just want you to know, whatever you're facing, and we all face different times, God is good. And we must discern a difference between our voice, God's voice, and the devil's voice. Mm-hmm. God will never tell you anything but truth. He will never tell you a partial lie. He will give you only truth. And you say, well, God doesn't speak to me. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, he has. Here. Mm-hmm. And you say, I don't know the will of the Lord. How will I know? Get in the book. Mm-hmm. And it will reveal God's will to you. And then little specifics, what color shirt should I wear today, which God probably don't care. But little specifics, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit leads us. So we need to, again, love on Jesus, draw near Jesus. Ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will guide you, the Bible says, into all truth. He will literally open up the door for you to be able to see the truth. And when you don't know which way to go, we need to stop and pray. Every one of us have decisions, 100 of them every day, that we have to make. One man said that his decision to go a different way, going home, resulted in a bad wreck, which he actually died, and his name's Don Piper. And God brought him back when a Baptist preacher literally went up, because it blocked the road for miles. And so this preacher got out of his car. There's been a preacher's convention, a Baptist convention somewhere. And this wreck on the bridge, someone literally ran over him. But this Baptist preacher came up and went through the trunk. Somehow went through the tailgate. You remember that? Mm-hmm. Open. Anyway, he went through there and he touched the dead man, Don Piper's shoulder. And he prayed all he knew to pray. He said he didn't even really believe he could bring anybody back to life or anything. And here's a dead man. And God says, pray for him. And so he's praying for this dead man. And he's got his hand on his shoulder. And he said, in a few minutes, he said, I just started singing. I'd prayed all I knew to pray, and so I just started singing. And he said that dead man starts singing with me. And God brought Dan Piper back. And he literally had to prove to them this man is alive before the ambulance and everything would get in there and get him and help him. And God brought him back, and we know he wrote a book. But God is so faithful to us. And every decision we make, we need to know and have the confidence in our heart. This is what the Lord's direction. You know, I think some things he just says, like my son asked him one time, he said, Lord, he was at the ocean. He's getting ready to take both of his sons out fishing. And he got to thinking, you know, what if I get out there and I have this or this or this happen? And what, you know, and so he started praying in the middle of the night. He's saying, Lord, is this wise? Should I take my son out fishing in the boat in the ocean? And the Lord said, I am with you. Go have fun. And he said, we went 50 miles out in the ocean and came back. Why could he do that? Because he had the confidence. He heard the voice of the Lord. And the voice of the Lord has spoken to Brent several times, and it amazes me. We recently at the link had a prophet come. And, you know, when people call themselves a prophet, you immediately want to go, well, let us be the judge, you know, mm-hmm. whether you're really a prophet or not. But this gentleman, Brent, was at the ocean again on vacation this last summer. And another gentleman was doing some kind of kite surfing or something, and Brent joined with him and was visiting with him and all. And so Brent then started trying to witness to him. And he said, oh, I'm a Christian. I go to Assembly of God Church. I'm a deacon there. Been there for years. Why don't you come to church with us Sunday? So Pastor Brent went to church there. He said, didn't even take any clothes to go to church, but he went and bought some. And he said he was sitting there with a polo shirt on or something and his hands folded. And he said the pastor went there, and there's a guest speaker there. And this guest speaker had broken his ankle, so he's on one of those little riding things. But he said he came up close to Brent and just stopped and stood there and then messed with his cell phone and then went up on stage. During his speaking or after his speaking, he said, I'm not going to prophesy over very many today. I don't have. He said, actually, I only have two that God has given me. And he said, one is the youth pastor. And he called him up. And Brent said, one of the things he said to him is, you're going to be doing more overseas ministry. And he said, well, I'm from Haiti. And so, you know, he hit the nail on the head there. Actually, he told Brent, he said, in this 20 years that God has called me to do this, not once has God failed. Not once has it been wrong. And so, anyway, he said, and this man right back here in the blue shirt, I have a word for you. And as he was walking up, somebody said, he's a pastor. He said, don't tell me anything. I don't want to know anything. He said, now I can't unhear that. But and then he started prophesying to Brent what God was going to do in the church and what God was going to do with his ministry and all. So he got back home, and this stuff started happening, just like this gentleman had said. And so he had him come to our church. And he's not the typical preacher. He was in tennis shoes and is tatted all over. And you know, not you don't think of a preacher as being tatted, you know. I mean, he's a preacher's son. But anyway, when the first people he called up, he didn't know me. I didn't know him. And he called Aaron and I up. And he literally spoke over Aaron and I, and then he'd say, sir, and speak right to him. He literally spoke. He said he literally described my last 30 years of ministry. And I'm just saying, we can hear the voice of the Lord if we will seek him, if we will walk with him, if we will talk with him. We don't have to sit in ignorance as to what God's word says or what his will is for our life. We don't have to be wondering, am I pleasing to God? Am I not pleasing to God? Open the book, and it will guide us. And I was looking through my book the other night, and I've got things marked. So many things are in yellow. Some things are in orange. Some things are in pink. Mark through your Bible, because as you read this, it gives you wisdom. This is my granddad's favorite, Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Have you ever asked a friend who don't have their life together what you should do? You better not. Mm-mm. you better seek the Word of God. And if you need some counseling, go to a pastor. And the pastors don't always have it together either. Seeking God first is the best, because some of them counsel out of their own head and hurt you more than they help you. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be menaced, but not everybody's walking as close to the Lord as they need to. Anyway, sorry. Bless is the man. I love pastors. And for the most part, probably everybody here in Elk City, and I'm not referring to anybody here, I'm just saying you can seek the Lord and you can seek wise counsel too. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, listen to this, but his delight, what do you delight in? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. You ever just take a scripture and think, what does that mean? Now, how can I, run a reference on this? I need to start running references myself. But to meditate on it, just think on it. The Bible says that if you do this, you delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law you meditate day and night, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which means you'll have all you need. You'll have the water. If a tree's planted right by a river, it gets all of the nourishment that it needs from the soil and from that water that comes up. It says, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Whoa, what a secret to success. What should I do today, Lord? One of the things you should do is meditate in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Pastor Brent said the other day, he said Wednesday night, he said, one day I had so much to do on my list that I thought, I don't have time to pray. I do not have time to pray today. And so he decided, you know what, I'm going to do it anyway. He said, I spent an hour with the Lord. And right after I finished my prayer time with the Lord, I got a call and someone said, Pastor, I knew you had a couple of things to do today and I hope it's not, don't upset you, but I went ahead and did those things for you. Those two things off. And then he got a call later and someone else said for that other thing, Pastor, I knew this needed to be done and I did this for you. He said, all three things were done by noon. And he said, and I had the afternoon to do what I wanted to do, and I'd spent my hour with the Lord. So I'm just saying, you know what? If you're wondering what to do with your life, go first to God in prayer. Get into his word. Find the joy of salvation. Find the joy of being filled with the Holy Spirit and guided. Have you girls ever, you're going to get ready to do something, and the Lord says, no, 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 no. No, don't do that. No. Or, oh, shh, be quiet. Don't say that.
I get that a lot.
Yeah. Don't say that.
I get bubble it, baby.
Bubble it, baby.
Yeah. If you see me walking around with the bubble in my mouth, mind your business. I'm being obedient.
I'm not saying because God says shush it. Mm-hmm. And then there's times he says, say to go apologize. Mm-hmm. He'll tell you that. Oh, that stings. It's better sometime not to say something. I have to go apologize for saying it. And just the following the Holy Spirit, hearing his voice and following. Because the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. And another one, they won't follow. They'll recognize. Well, it sounds a little bit similar, but it's not. In Israel, they did a test for us when we were in Israel. And they had some sheep in the pasture, and they had the shepherd there. And then they had said, some of you call out to the sheep. And they had someone, called out, and said, made noises and tried to get the sheep to follow them. The sheep just kept grazing, didn't pay attention. Said, now let the shepherd. And the shepherd went, some kind of little thing. And boy, those sheep's head went up. And here they started going right to him. And you know what? They knew they knew his voice. They knew his call. Come on. And you know what the sheep do? They literally follow exactly. They don't think on their own and go, oh, I'm going to go over here and graze like cattle do, and other horses is another thing. I'm going to graze, and they do their own thing in this pasture they're in. Sheep are different, and they don't even have a pasture. I mean, they don't even have a fence. The only time they go in is when they go in at night to keep, to keep the boogers away from them, to be protected. As far as I know, anyway, what I have seen, and I may be wrong about that, there may be people who fence up their sheep and all, but I'm just, the ones I have seen in the field are free. It's a free open field, and they're following the shepherd. They're following exactly what he says do, and So anyway, if we can get tuned in to our shepherd's voice. One lady told me, though, she said, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. But she said, it didn't say little lambs do. Mm. Little lambs have to learn the voice of their shepherd. And how do you do that? It's by getting in the Word and knowing when you hear a stranger's voice. You know, you've heard the enemy's voice where it just alerts you. You're like, well, get out of here. That's not God. Mm-hmm. There was one time I told my husband, I said, here's what's happened and here's what's coming at me. And we were in the car and he just stopped and said, well, that ain't God. Mm-hmm. And when he said that, the presence of the Lord filled that car, and we both started just praying instantly, and that thing just went, boop, gone. And the devil will come at you, and sometimes it almost sounds like your master's voice, and you have to stop. But I ran that by my husband, and he said, well, that ain't God. Is it oppressive? Does it bring you down? Does the voice put fear in your heart? Does it make you anxious? Does it make you scared and confused? Then it is not God's voice. God's voice will be gentle but firm. It will be loving. It will be kind. It will not be harsh. If there's a harsh voice speaking to you and it's hateful and harsh, then you can go, you know what? That's the enemy's voice. Sometimes, though, he won't come hateful and harsh. How did he come to Jesus? He came, and the Bible says in the last days, there will be seducing spirits. I need a tissue. There will be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that people follow. And so you have to, that's one of the things we have to watch about, a seducing spirit. I've had people look at me and say, well, that book is bad. Well, maybe that book is bad, but I don't think so. You know what? I'm just going to, one person told me, I'm going to make a test if I should read those books. I could tell her in an instant she shouldn't be reading those books. But she had to know for herself. She said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray that if I'm not supposed to read those books, that in the morning when I wake up, my sink will be full of water. And I won't put a stopper in it. And I'm like, that's just silly. But anyway, because there, in the last days, it's going to be more deceptive. Remember how the devil came, though, at Jesus? Mm-hmm. It didn't come with a harsh. He came with a, here's what I'll give you. Mm-hmm. If you bow down and worship me, look at all you could have. And a lot of the times the enemy comes at us that way. Oh, look at the fun you could have. Oh, look at that. But what you find out is the devil, God is all truth. Excuse me. And he came to give you abundant life. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. But what are the works of the devil? They are lies. Mm-hmm. What do they cause? Confusion, heartache, pain. So the minute you think, oh, there's something wonderful, and you reach for it, it will either crumble in your hand, and you don't quite get it to your mouth, or if you do, you get it in, it's going to be bitter. There's going to be some poison in it. There's going to be some bitterness in it. And that's why we have to be careful. A cute story. Y'all probably heard me tell it here even. But these kids were wanting their dad to let them go see a certain movie. And the dad said, there is this scene and that scene in this movie. It is not something that I want you to see. But, Dad, it's just a little bit. It's just a scene or two. It's not. Mm-hmm. And everybody is seeing this movie. And so, okay, you know, I will talk about this later. So when they came in from school, he had brownies fixed for them. Beautiful brownies. They're like, yay, and they started to take a bite of the brownies. And he said, now wait, before you take the brownies, I went to the backyard, and I put a little bit of dog poop in them. And so there's just a tiny bit, just a tiny bit, just a little poo. Not enough that you could even, you'll never taste it. And it's okay, just eat them. They're like, yuck, no. He said, this is my point. You won't eat them, but you'll ingest into your mind and in mm-hmm. your spirit something that will never leave you. It will stay there. Your brain is a computer. And everything that's ever happened to you is here. Now, some of us get a little cloudy with that sometimes. We chunk things out and we forget things and some things we want to forget, you know. But it's here. And we've got to deal with this stuff here. So how much better when the Holy Spirit says, no, don't watch that. I sat down on my bed many years ago. It was over 20 years ago. And there was a lady on TV. I probably shouldn't call her name. But the program was funny. And funny things tend to grab me. And so I sit down at the end of the bed, and I was watching. It's a family show. I say family in that it was a weird family, and there was just weird stuff about it. And I'm looking at it, and I'm laughing, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And he said, is that the way you want to? Is that the way you want to be? And I said, oh, no, sir. I don't want to be that. He said, then why are you watching it? I've never watched her again. I never looked at it one time, never, ever since. Any time I've ever seen that show, I will never watch it because I want to keep my mind as pure and as clean as I can. And see, we have to be careful. If it comes in as funny, well, it's okay. Sometimes we'll watch the demonic things because it's Halloween. And so we're going to watch these scary movies and not knowing devil is throwing it. He's using it. He's throwing fear in there. He's throwing all kinds of things in there and we're ingesting it. And then we wonder why we're scared when we get out and we wonder why fear's entered our life. Mm-hmm. Well, we opened that door with our eye gate and our ear gate and we gave the devil, we just said, come on in. That's kind of what we said by what we watch. If you say you don't want to be a lustful person, then don't go watch lustful movies. Mm-hmm. Stay away from them.
It's hard to watch anything anymore without that junk, too.
Yeah, I watch very little. Since I married Aaron, he watches even less. Mm-hmm. And so we watch very, very little of anything on TV. We listen to mostly Gaither videos, but that's our air, and we like that. But you can find things to do, and I'm finding out. Even my internet, I have curbed it a whole lot, my Facebook. Mm-hmm. I try to check my messages, and you say there's nothing wrong with it, and I don't see one thing wrong with it. The only thing I see wrong with it is what's so easy to do. You can spend 2 hours on that real easy through a day, at least 2 hours with the times you spend. And did you spend that much time in God's Word? Mm-hmm. And that was my sin, is spending too much time. So I really backed off, and my computer's even going, you know, 28 less usage. Mm-hmm. This on and it'll pop up. I'm going, look, are you proud of me, Aaron? Look. But anyway, God has some good things for us, but we're going to have to be diligent in this hour and learn who's speaking to us and be deliberate about our salvation. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Wouldn't now be a good time for some prayer requests? Okay.